So, she said, grabbing the empty bags and tossing them into the wicker trash can by her closet. It's Friday night. What would you like to do? Quiet night in, or would you like to go out on the town? His hungry gaze ran down the length of her body, making her hot instantaneously.
You know the answer to that.
Okay. One vote for jumping the doctor's bones, and one vote not to jump the doctor's bones. Can I hear another option?
How about just a nice quiet evening at home, then?
Okay, she said, heading to her phone on the nightstand. Let me check my messages. Then we can start dinner. Julian finished putting his clothes away while she called her answering service and talked to them. He had just tucked away the last item when he heard an alarmed note in Grace's voice. Did he say what he needed? Julian turned to look at her. Her eyes were slightly dilated, and she had a firm, tense grip on the phone.
Why did you give him this number?
She asked angrily.
My patients are never to receive my home number. Do you have a supervisor I can talk to?
Julian went to stand beside her.
Is something wrong?
She held her hand up to tell him to be quiet as she listened to the other person.
All right, she said after a long pause. I'll just have to get my number changed again. Thanks.
She turned the phone off and set it down. Worry knitted her brow.
What happened? He asked.
She let out an irritated breath as she rubbed at her neck.
The answering service hired this new girl who slipped up and gave out my home number to one of my patients who called in today.
She talked so fast he could barely follow her.
Well, he's not really one of my patients, she continued without pausing. I would never have taken such a man on as a patient, but Luann, Dr. Jenkins, isn't so picky, and she rushed out of town last week on some personal emergency, so Beth and I had to divvy up her patients who had to have counseling while she's gone. Still, I didn't want this creepy guy, but Beth doesn't work on Fridays, and he has to have Wednesdays and Fridays because of his release program.
She looked up at him with panic in her light gray eyes.
I still didn't want him, but his caseworker swore to me there wouldn't be any problems. He said the man wasn't a threat to anyone.
Julian's head ached from all the information she unloaded and the words she used that didn't make sense to him.
Is that a problem?
Just a little scary, she said, her hand shaking.
He's a stalker who was released from the mental ward.
Stalker from a mental ward? What is that?
As she explained it to him, he actually gaped.
You let these people loose on your society?
Well, yes. The idea is to help them.
Julian was aghast. What kind of world was this that the men in it refused to protect their women and children from such?
Where I come from, we didn't let people like that near our families, and we damn sure didn't let them loose on our streets.
Welcome to the 21st century, she said bitterly. Here we do things a little differently.
Julian shook his head as he thought about all the things in this time that were so alien to him. He just couldn't comprehend these people and the way they lived.
I really don't belong here,
he said under his breath.
Julian.
He pulled away as she reached for him.
Grace, you know it's true. Let's say we break the curse. What good does it do me? What am I supposed to do here? I can't read your language. I can't drive your car or work. There's so much I don't comprehend. I'm lost here.